This is The Masterful Art of Self-Care, a podcast where we offer a community and safe space to bring awareness, educate, empower, and be an advocate on the ways that we can break the stigma of self-care for mothers, caregivers, and other women and those who identify as women. This is Anitu by Wallace, your host. Welcome. Welcome to another episode of The Masterful Art of Self-Care, and thank you again for joining me today. Today, I have Bethany Droman, and she is a mom, a dancer, a movement specialist, and founder of Mama Moves exercise cards. I first encountered these cards during a retreat several years ago up in Sequim, Washington with Katie Bowman, and love the concept of having these different cards with sample exercises that a mama could do with her babe in arms or nearby, so getting your movement fix wouldn't seem so insurmountable. I know that this was a big struggle for me as a new mom and a mom who was always holding my daughter for the first few months, so I'm sure that those of you who are listening could definitely relate to this. So before I read the bio, I want to start off with an apology about the quality of the sound. So I recorded this last year in the winter, and I did this in a cafe because at the time, California, and especially the Bay Area, they were having several power outages, so I couldn't be inside my home. I didn't have any heat or light, so I've just found a nearby cafe. It was kind of very much last minute, and it was somewhat quiet, but I know that the microphone definitely did pick up some various sounds in the surrounding areas. So again, I really apologize about the noise quality. I'm hoping that I can, as I continue with this project, that I will be able to find a dedicated space or even just a recording studio where the sound quality will continue to improve and will get better. So again, I just want to apologize. I'm hoping that this doesn't take away from the wisdom that was shared in this interview. So Bethany Droman has been deeply involved in movement since childhood. Her career is centered around helping people, particularly mothers, enjoy more functional movement and discover the enormous potential of their bodies. She studied classical ballet to a pre-professional level and went on to earn a BA in dance from Mills College in 2004. She danced for several modern dance companies in the San Francisco Bay Area, and her teaching has a focus on injury rehabilitation as well as pre- and postnatal movement. Eventually, she wanted to go deeper into injury rehab and became an anatomy teacher and earned her manual therapy certificate from the Hendrickson Method Institute in 2010. She apprenticed with Dr. Hendrickson and became a lead teacher for his program for several years. Bethany opened Divine Proportion Pilates in Eugene, Oregon in 2009 and created Mama Moves exercise cards in 2016. She became a certified restorative exercise specialist through Katie Bowman in 2018. She now lives in Eugene, Oregon with her husband, two little girls, and one baby boy. She loves to hike and garden and occasionally choreographs and performs dance. I really hope you enjoy this interview.
So thank you so much for being on this episode of The Masterful Art of Self-Care. So today I have Bethany with us, and she's going to give a little intro about herself. But one of the reasons why I wanted to have her on here is because I am a former student of Katie Bowman, did the restorative exercise certification, you know, several years ago. And I remember going to one of, I guess one of Katie's most recent, she did a postpartum like retreat last year, and she had some of the Mama Moves cards. And so I remember picking that up and then just getting to, you know, learn more about you. So, and then just getting to see some of your Instagram posts and learn more about what you have to offer. So I thought you'd be a really great addition to this podcast. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. I really love talking about my work. And yeah, just, I feel like I always have something I'm thinking about and things that I'm, you know, unraveling myself in my life and with my work. Awesome. So it's always a really fun thing for me to talk about.
Cool. Well, we'll just start off with the first question. If you can just share a little bit about who you are for those who haven't heard of you before and what it is that you're currently doing right now.
Yeah. So my name is Bethany, and I guess I can go a little from where I am now and kind of how I got there. I right now live in Eugene, Oregon. And I have three children who are 5, 2.5, and 2 months old. And right now, the big work I'm doing in right now, small pieces because of the baby, is running Mama Moves Cards, which is a business that sort of organically came out of a lot of the things I've been doing for years. And I make cards that has functional movements and ideas that mamas can put into their day with their kids. So everything from like doing a calf stretch while you're brushing your teeth to making an obstacle course with your kids to give everyone a movement challenge and connection. And I got to making those. I've been doing movement work kind of my whole life. I started dancing when I was 5, and that took me into college. I ended up getting a dance degree, and while I was doing that, I started studying to teach Pilates, and I was studying anatomy, and it was just this sort of whole life love of movement that brought me here. I worked with clients in the Bay Area for a long time and taught workshops and teacher trainings, and I did that extensively, and I did a lot of prenatal and postpartum work. I had always been really also very interested in birth. And so whenever I had pregnant clients, I kind of ate it up and really researched a lot and gave them a lot of support. And I did manual therapy for a while too, that I added to my movement work, and it was just adding a hands-on component that made a lot of sense to me. And then I moved back to Eugene from the Bay Area doing all of that in 2014 to have my first child, because I've got here. And what happened was, so I had my first child, and I had like a big tear in that birth. It was a really lovely home birth, but I had this huge tear and kind of felt for weeks, for months, at a loss of how to heal myself. And I felt like that was really unfair, because I had all this information and experience and felt like, well, I should know what to do. Mm-hmm. But it felt really difficult to figure out how to implement the things that I knew. And so during that time, I think right before that, a little while before that, and also during that time, I had made these little tiny cards, one set for my husband and one set for a client in Oakland that I had left, that I had, you know, I'd worked with people for like 10 years, some of them. So I remember making these little cards that I just hand drew, that were just little movements, one set for my husband to do, he's a computer worker, to do while he was working. And then this other set for these clients that I had had for years. Mm-hmm. With just one little movement you could do while you were doing something else, or just an idea to add to something you were doing. And so I made those and kind of started to think, oh, that would be a really cool component of like a postpartum movement course. Mm-hmm. And when I had my first, I planned out this whole movement course that was like an online thing that you could use as a postpartum self-care tool. And I planned this out. She was about 15 months old or so, 16 months. And then I got pregnant with my second, and I was pregnant, and we ended up moving. It was sort of this crazy wild pregnancy that had a lot of just logistical difficulties for my life, not the pregnancy. And I said, well, I can't make that course anymore, but I can make these cards. So I just took this one little component of this whole idea I had and made that. And it just felt like it served that purpose. And I actually used those cards a lot after I had that baby. And I'm using them again now with my third baby. And it's kind of been this really fun jumping off point for a lot of the things I've done to come together. A lot of the work I've done with mothers and with self-care and with movement and how to enjoy movement in your life and functionally use it without it having to be a separate sort of workout plan. Mm-hmm. And of course, with this project, it's created a ton of other ideas. You know, it's it's sort of, there's always too many ideas and not enough people to work on them in my world. And during my third pregnancy, I finally made my movement course that was sort of the birth of Mama Moves Cards. So that was really fun to finally complete that project. Yeah, so that's kind of how I ended up here. And I still do a little bit of client work and teach some classes, and you know, I teach workshops here and there as I can. But Mama Moves Cards has also been a fun self-care thing for me, because doing my work is really part of my self-care. And with this particular project, I'm able to piece it out so that I can work on it while I've got small babies and children.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Cool. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I really appreciate hearing, you know, just the journey that you went through, you know, before having kids and then after having kids, and this project that obviously, you know, has been a big passion project of yours. And I think for most mothers listening to this, like, I think they can resonate, like, having a passion or something that you know, has really been a calling for them for years. And then, you know, having the kids and weaving that into their life. And, you know, hope, thankfully, that after this third one, you've been able to just kind of have like a full culmination with it. And one of the things that really spoke out to me was, you know, the Mom Moose cards, and I have like a few of them. I don't have the full set and I want to purchase them eventually. But that you are integrating movement with your kids, and that it, you know, this is part of your self-care, and that it's not something that you have to then separate or take time away or be away from your kids, or schedule it out, you know, away from your kids in order to be able to still integrate movement into your life. So if you can speak a little bit more, like, how you came about with that, because obviously, like, coming from a dance background, you know, whether you're doing it with, you know, your dance group or you're doing it solo by yourself, and then being able to carve out that time, because I think that is a big challenge for a lot of mothers. And I could say, you know, for myself, like, that was a big challenge, is being able to fit in movement, fit in self-care into my life, even though I had my daughter around, you know, for pretty much the first 5 years of her life. She was with me primarily, and being able to carve out that time. So I'd love to hear, like, just how you came about with that, or, you know, was it just a natural way for you?
Yeah. So there's a couple pieces of that story. One thing is, you know, I had heard about Katie Bowman's work for years. Like, there were manual therapy training that I was teaching that were studying with her. Mm-hmm. Which was like in 2012 or so. And when I moved back here and was first, I started, you know, taking more of her online classes, and I ended up getting certified with her, but not until later. But it just made so much sense to me. Like, her knowledge of function and the way that she integrated movement into life and talked about stacking functions was something that I had always talked with people about, and it's like more words to talk about it and more foundation. Mm-hmm. And so that was really something that came in at the perfect time for me when I was about to have my first baby. And so it, you know, at first it was this kind of like push-pull frustration of feeling, especially in my healing phase, when I was really, you know, I had this like 20 stitch tear or something with that birth, that it really just felt like I had no connection in my pelvis. And it was such a strange feeling for me, being like in my body and fluent in my body and with all this like professional dance fluency. It was really scary. Mm-hmm. And I quickly had to put my mind around the fact that I was not very soon going to have a full half hour or hour or whatever I wanted work on my body, because as you know, with like even with young kids, it's hard to get the time to juggle everything.
Yeah, it is.
And so I had to really break that idea that like that was what I needed. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I did that. I started with, okay, I need 5 minutes to do these few things. That's all it is. Okay, I'm gonna take 2 minutes right now while I'm holding the baby to do these few things. And that started to make sense. And it worked really well. It did. And there's still, of course, I think for all of us as mothers, there's always this need for like alone time to do the thing you want to do. And I don't think that I don't discount that at all. It's still extremely valuable, but I just really could feel how much it was important to, like, I didn't have the time anymore. There's just not the hours in the day when you're parenting. Mm-hmm. You take the time you really need, but you really do have to fit it in with other things. And then there was a couple things that happened that really made it even more clear for me. When I was, when my first was about a year old, I got a job choreographing a piece at the local community college here in Eugene. And it was fabulous. It was like beautiful studio space, awesome young dancers, and a, you know, a show where I could make a piece. And I could like use this thing I had done for so long. But the rehearsals were like 4 hours twice a week, and there was no way I could get that much childcare. in. I took my one-year-old with me about half the time, maybe. And I at first felt really scared, like these people aren't going to accept me. I'm bringing my child with me. Mm-hmm. And there also was this sort of great feeling though, of bringing her into this world that I treasure. You know, dance and movement is just like this golden opportunity in life, as I see it, for everyone. And so I felt this completeness, bringing my baby into my world. And she couldn't even walk yet. And she started doing these amazing things with her body. She just watched the dancers. And they also completely accepted her and loved having her there. And, you know, there were funny moments that happened. Like I was showing them one complicated movement phrase one time and baby was in the carrier and I felt all, you know, fly that I was doing this. I was like dancing with the baby in the carrier and then realized my boob had come out of my
shirt. Oh, no.
Total embarrassment. And of course, I'm like, I don't care. But I think things like that were really good for me. I got to bring my baby to where I am. I got to be real. And then shortly after that happened, I posted this video on Instagram or Facebook, and it was a fast forward motion video of me doing maybe like 6 or 8 minutes of movement that was just this little short routine with a roller and with like just some basic kind of Pilates movements I was doing. And it was so funny because I put it in fast forward and I have this little toddler, she was like 14 months, wandering around and like crawling over me and jumping on me and hitting me with the pillow, and I just keep doing my thing.
Mm-hmm.
That video went a little bit viral. In a couple days it got shared tons of times and got like, you know, 20,000 views or something. But what was really interesting about that is that a lot of people were literally baffled how I could do movement like that with this kid wandering around.
Yeah.
And there were some interesting conversations that came out of it. Like there were people that really just didn't understand it. They were like, well, how don't you get distracted? And I was like, well, I just stop and talk to her for like 30 seconds and then I go back.
Mm-hmm.
And there were also people that were kind of like angry about it. Not like they were saying I was wrong, but they were like, I would get so angry at that. Like, I just have to put my kid in childcare to do that movement.
Yeah.
And that really got me talking and thinking about what is the function of, for one, for yourself, because my first response was, well, I just have to do this. Like, my husband's working full time and I'm trying to work too. And I really need to take care of my body to be a good mother. Mm-hmm. And so this is simply necessity for me. Like, it's not a choice. And so I have to learn how to do it and be calm. And it got me then thinking more deeply after some of those conversations about how cool it is to show your children, even from that young of an age, that you need to take care of yourself.
Yes.
And also that you don't have to shun them. I mean, that's sort of a strong word, I guess, but that you don't have to put them somewhere else to do that. That it's like, your needs are important. You can give them a boundary. Like, yes, mama is here and she's doing this movement and I can be with you, but I maybe can't do every little thing you want right now.
Yeah.
But we'll be together. And then it teaches them movement and also gives them so much connection. Like, it's sort of endless, and I've also found that it makes the time that I have, when I have a long time for self-care, it makes that time more potent because I haven't dropped it off completely in my other parts of life. It's like the thread is still there throughout our life.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I think that's really interesting just about the video that you mentioned and some of the comments or reflections that people had mentioned. And I find it surprising that some people would be angry about that. And I think it is so important, you know, to be able to integrate it into your life instead of it having it be like a separate thing. And that's one of the things that I love about, you know, Katie Bowman's work is that, you know, yes, there is that time for exercise and, you know, whether to have that dedicated 1 hour, but that there should be movement, you know, filtered into your life all the time, every day. And if it's, you know, if it has to be, you know, with your kid, then I think, you know, you should make that work as much as, you know, try to make it work as much as possible. And I could definitely resonate because that was what a lot of my self-care looked like with my daughter. And it still is kind of like that, you know, especially on the weekends and, you know, sleeping in late and, you know, do a little exercise and meditate. And then I just have her sit next to me like while I'm meditating. I say like, you know, mommy's meditating, and then, you know, she can either, you know, be next to me and be really quiet, but then she sees that, and she knows that, okay, well, this is mommy's self-care time. And it's also something that she can then, you know, integrate into her life as well too. So I think it's so important, because we want to model that for our kids. So I think that's awesome that, you know, you've been doing that with all three of them. You've been seeing that and, you know, taking them to your dance classes. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, just speaking about one thought I have too, is like speaking about another thought I have on the anger people showed up with to that particular thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that some of that is probably just that as mothers, we're often trained that we're supposed to give our all to our children.
Yeah.
I actually thought about that later as maybe something that was showing up for people as like, what, for one, their guilt that they couldn't do that, because mm-hmm. there was this conversation around like, oh, that's kind of fun. But also their maybe desire to take better care of themselves around their children. Because mm-hmm. It was this perplexing sort of like, it wasn't like they were mad at me. It was just this sort of like, oh, I could never do that. That would be awfully frustrating. And I think I feel that sometimes too, you know, it's like, I know what I like to do, and I do feel the frustration sometimes of trying to do all the things and also trying to take care of myself and feeling how difficult it is on some days, like really how difficult it is. It is not easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that I assume, you know, when it comes to like anger, is a lot of it is, you know, it's a reflection, you know, when they're a person who's angry and they see something that they dislike or that they're angry about, it's really a reflection of something that is missing or that is occurring in their life. And so, you know, just exactly as you said, you know, that what they were witnessing and what they saw is probably, you know, seeing that in their life, you know, that they haven't been dedicating or making that time, you know, to have, you know, that kind of self-care or making it work. And so in a way, like maybe they're just reflecting on what they're seeing, and that's, you know, what's causing, you know, a lot of that discontent, you know, most likely. So so I wanted to jump back to something that you mentioned, which I thought was really interesting for me. So I know you've had a really long history as a dancer, and you know, I would probably rightly say that you're very connected with your body, but you had mentioned that you found it really hard, that even though you had all this knowledge, like all the manual therapy and all the body work that you've done, that after having your first one, it was really hard for you to be able to, I'm gonna say, like, you know, quote unquote, like fix yourself, but it was really hard for you just to kind of get back to your original self and to heal yourself, you know, after the pregnancy. And I think that that's the case, you know, especially for those who are movers, you know, and have been doing it for a really long time, and they have all these tools in their toolkit. And I think sometimes it can be really hard in order to, like, I know all this stuff, like I should be able to take care of myself. I'm wondering, because obviously it was a journey and it was a process for you, but were there any other, you know, particular individuals who you brought into your, you know, your self-care, your healthcare arena in order to kind of help during your postpartum time? I'd just love to hear, you know, if there were any other people who helped you on that journey.
Yeah. You know, I think part of what happened really was also that I didn't have as many people helping me at that mm-hmm. time, because I had come from being in the Bay Area and having all these wonderful colleagues and people that I did trades with and movement classes I went to and dance classes I went to. And, you know, it was, and my work was a certain way of grounding myself. And when I moved up here and had my first, I wasn't working all that much. Mm-hmm. So that was part of the issue. I did meet someone wonderful here that I started working with, who is now like a wonderful friend, and she's been at both of my past two births. She's a craniosacral person, so she was a lot of help with that healing. Mm-hmm. And also I did a lot of reading of Katie Bowman's work, and just doing her own classes. And the other things I went back to, I had one of the first teachers I had aside from ballet and movement, was a body mind centering person. Mm-hmm. And I read some of those books, and those are really helpful, I think, in terms of just like gentle self body connection, because it's like I really started to get away from this idea of ever pushing our bodies beyond a limit. You know, I had come from a dance background, so it's like there's still a lot in me, I'm sure, of just this like making your body into this fabulously functional machine. That can do all of these sort of tricks. And I would say that part of what happened with that birth injury was that I really had to solidly reframe a lot of the things that I felt and thought about bodies. Mm-hmm. Because I think there was part of like, even, you know, when I had that tear in that birth, there were some of my colleagues and friends and clients that were kind of like, I was open about sharing that this had happened. I didn't ever feel like not telling people. Mm-hmm. And some people were like, wow, how could that happen to you? Mm-hmm. Which of course didn't feel very good.
Yeah.
And I know I've experienced this a lot throughout my career of people working with you. If you're working at a certain level with people, they see you as, you know, unbreakable or omnipotent in a certain way, because you do have all that knowledge and sort of the, you're the teacher or you're the holder of the information. But there was part of me that was like, well, how could this happen to me? And there were definitely some pretty strong physical connections I made, like, oh, that side of my pelvic floor always felt less connected. I have, you know, this scoliosis that I've worked with for years, a mild scoliosis, and mm-hmm. it made sense in terms of those pathways. But a lot of what happened, I think also because I didn't have as much access to my colleagues and resources that I had been around, was to really look at it and devise a different way of thinking about my body. So rather than thinking like, oh, I know all of these concrete reasons that my body is less functional than it could be, and I could fix those, trying to listen a little bit more mm-hmm. and take everything a little bit more slowly, mm-hmm. which I think has been a really big deal in how things have built out for me the past 5 years since that baby was born.
Uh-huh. And I think for any mother listening to this is just to remember like that you're human, and that, you know, you're going to have lots of different experiences and that they help shape you. So I think, you know, exactly what you said, that like why this happened to me, it's kind of very similar, you know, for myself, like coming from like a yoga background and, you know, having all this knowledge as well too. And, you know, having suffered a miscarriage and, you know, having had to have like surgery to, you know, take care of like what caused the miscarriage, and then having to have a C-section and all this stuff. And, you know, it's like, you know, why did this happen to me? And, you know, I know all this stuff and I should be knowledgeable and be able to take care of my body and all this stuff shouldn't happen. But I think, you know, to always come back to like all these experiences, they happen for a reason, and that they're there to help, you know, shape you and to make you a better person. So, and I think that, you know, with you, that's exactly what it did, because I think it helped to, you know, produce a lot of, you know, the work, the creative work that you're doing right now. So, and bring it out and share it to the world. So I think, you know, in your way, like those things had to happen in order for you to, you know, do what you're doing right now. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like this, I've felt like this past pregnancy has been a really good opportunity to heal some of the issues from the first birth, just because of mm-hmm. some of the work I've been doing now currently. And it was definitely a path that I pretty quickly recognized was giving me some gifts for my deepest self and for my work and just my place and my sense of the world. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible, like where it's brought me to and who I've met and all the people that I kind of just, you know, have collected on along the way of doing this work. There's a wonderful friend I've made through restorative exercise world, that it's like, it's incredible, you know, sometimes you have to learn things, the same thing over and over and over again mm-hmm. before it really makes a difference.
Yeah.
This woman that I met through a course with Jennifer Gleason Blue that I was doing early last year. Her name is Heather Jackson. And so she, it's like I started having pelvic floor issues during, you know, my second and third pregnancies around the tear site. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of, you know, normal stuff, some heaviness and sometimes a little bit of sneezing incontinence and stuff like that. And I could usually work on it myself and kind of figure out how to mitigate issues. And then the third pregnancy felt a little harder. Mm-hmm. And then this friend of mine, Heather, she did an online 6-week prenatal workshop that she made, and she's a restorative exercise person. And she's a really good teacher. She explains things really well. And I took these classes from her online, and it was like all of this pelvic floor stuff went away. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to me because she was doing all the stuff that I kind of know to do and I kind of have done.
Yeah.
And so it felt to me like it was the right information at the right time for me, or mm-hmm. she was the right teacher at the right time. Mm-hmm. Cause she has a great little set of these 6 classes that is her prenatal workshop. But it also was interesting to me that it made such a difference because it really cleared up so much of the pelvic floor stuff that was coming up, and it's been better in pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. That's really good to hear.
Yeah,
I like that. That sometimes you just need to hear it from a different person. Like, even if you already have that information and knowledge, you just need to hear it in a different way in order for you to actually, you know, take that message. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think that that's a lot of what, I mean, that's so much of what my career is about, mm-hmm. and what I feel is so missing and necessary for mothers is having someone to support you. You know, it's yeah. like, I know all the things, I feel like, and I do know a lot, but that's part of what I experienced when I had my first baby is like, oh, I know all the things, but I actually need someone else to support me in using the knowledge I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely, for sure. Cool. So I wanted to just take a moment to kind of get your take on a lot of, you know, this podcast and a lot of the work that I'm trying to do is just helping to, you know, take away the stigma around what self-care looks like for mothers. And I feel like, you know, you're doing a lot of the work that you're doing, especially with the Mama Moves cards and the course that you're creating as well, is helping, you know, in order to kind of reframe and change the way that self-care should look like, especially when it comes to mothers. And so I'm wanting to know, you know, so you can talk a little bit about your course, but what were some of the things that you yourself might have encountered with regards to, you know, what self-care should look like, you know, especially after having your first and, you know, might be the same or different now with your third. That you felt that you had to go and, you know, challenge or reframe for yourself in order to make it work for you.
Yeah, so there's sort of a big one that I've always been hardly against, which is mm-hmm. this pressure to get your pre-baby body back. That's
yeah.
a phrase that always really irks me. And mm-hmm. and so that's a thing I'm like definitely on a crusade to smash, because there's so many reasons. And one of the big reasons is like, I just for a long time have been trying to extract myself from exercise culture and teach people why, but mm-hmm. that I feel like is a very, it's an important thing to do if you want to really be in your body and have good function. Mm-hmm. And so when I started looking up postpartum exercise courses when I had my first, and it was all these people, there were all these pictures of women that typically were these like tiny little blonde women
yeah.
with flat stomachs and their supposed 3-month-old baby.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And that's, you know, so, and that does happen for some people, like that's fine. But it just felt like there's no real people teaching this. Like there's so many more now that, you know, the past 5 years have gone by, there are more people teaching great stuff and there are more postpartum resources than ever, I feel like. But at the time, what I found was just completely not realistic for anyone. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, there's your body's different and there's like milk everywhere and everything feels wobbly. And,
yeah.
I mean, I'm in that state right now, like I'm getting more into myself, but So that was a big thing. And and there's also, it's like this dualistic thing of you need to get back to your pre-baby body and be all toned and fit and functional. But then there's also this other thing that happens, which I feel like is perpetuated in a more subtle way, that you're expected to have dysfunction once you've had children. Mm-hmm. That happens in the prenatal phase. You know, it happens definitely where people are like, oh, your back's just going to hurt. Your feet are just going to hurt. Your feet are going to swell. All these things, mm-hmm. which don't have to be true. And it's not anyone's fault if they are true, I want to mm-hmm. emphasize, because it's like none of us have the information we need.
Yeah.
Myself included. Which is where, you know, I don't want any of us to get into that trap that it sounds like we all get into of like, why did this happen to me? And so, but there is this expectation, like I hear mothers say it, I hear, you know, doctors say it, like, oh, you're just gonna, like, you can't ever jump on a trampoline again because you'll just pee yourself, mm-hmm. which is untrue. So those two things have been the biggest ones in terms of just like overall body culture and movement culture, exercise culture, really, that I'm really against. And I also think that there's a lot more subtly that's coming up for me the past couple of years in terms of this realization that, the word self-care is what we have to work with, but I wish there was another word that means something about the way that you need to lean into your community and ask for support and receive support to do self-care as a mother.
Yes. Yeah.
Cause I think there's like this, and I've seen articles more along these lines recently that self-care has become this sort of commodified term where it's like you go to yoga and you get your nails done and everything's perfect. And I think the reality is that self-care implicitly has a component of relying on other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not a thing you can buy. And it's not a thing that's also always pretty. You know, it's like your self-care might be that you need a really good cry. And maybe you need someone to listen to you cry. And maybe it's messy. Maybe mm-hmm. it's like, maybe you're, you know, you get enraged in front of your children and that's not your ideal day, but that's what you needed to do is let those feelings out.
Yeah.
And so I also really am interested in, and that's also one of the reasons I went back to the anger point. Cause it's like, I really care a lot about breaking the shame and guilt that is inherent in motherhood. Mm-hmm. You know, the shame of taking time for yourself, the guilt of like, you exploded at your child one day because you were just at your limit. That support to other mothers is a really big deal to me.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wanted to, because I agree, like I wish that there was another term other than self-care, and a term that I have used a little bit and that I've heard is community care, which I really like. And then a friend of mine actually, you know, I don't know whether she came up with this term, but like reciprocal care is that she has a friend of hers who has tried for years to get pregnant and has been unable to do so. But my friend has, I think, almost a 1-year-old now. And so, you know, her friend will watch her 1-year-old so that she can, you know, whether it's her yoga practice, or she's a dancer as well too, you know, or just to be able to go to the grocery store, you know, without her child, and just to be able to have some alone time. And that then her friend who, you know, has been wanting to have a child is able to have some one-on-one time. And then for her friend, like, she is able to care for herself and have that, you know, that intimacy, that feeling of, you know, a baby and, you know, loving on a baby. And so she's also, in a way, you know, just by my friend having that time for herself, she's also helping out her friend. And I love that idea too, that it's a give and take, that it's not just a one-sided, you know, I'm going to give myself this time and it's just going to be just for me. But I think, like, you know, my general gist of like self-care is that, like, for a mother, that they're caring for themselves so that then they can be better caretakers, you know, for their family, for their kids, their spouse, you know, their parents, if they're also having to take care of their parents. I mean, that's what it should be. It shouldn't be just like an indulgence or a luxury, but it should be like, you know, and like, yeah, whether it's like, I need to cry or I just need to vent or talk to someone. And then when you're able to at least allow that emotional baggage, let that go, like that can be self-care. And then you can then be really present, you know, for the other people in your life. And I think that that's so important. So yeah, I agree that there should be another term instead of self-care.
Yeah. And I feel like that's one of the things I don't have it in front of me, but I wrote about in the, one of the cards talks about walking. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, walking is such a big deal. And especially if you're like a Katie Bowman person, walking is a big deal. And
yeah,
walking with kids isn't really easy when you're by yourself. Like there's tricks you can employ and devices and stuff, but I talked a lot in that card, and I've written some blog posts about it, about walking with kids, that it's a really important opportunity to connect with community, because it is easier to walk with at least two adults and multiple kids than it is to walk with one person and multiple mm-hmm. kids, or even one person and one kid, yeah, especially if it's a toddler. And one of the things that we do in our family that we've sometimes expanded to include other community members as we started it when I was pregnant with my second child. So it was about 3 years ago. We decided we wanted to make a Sunday ritual of walking. Mm-hmm. And we started calling it church walk, because we don't go to church, but we do feel very spiritual in certain ways, and very spiritual, especially when we're outside. And so my first daughter, she's grown up with this, and it evolved very quickly into our self-care walk, where my husband and I would do a self-care check-in. Mm-hmm. And we ask usually just a few questions. How's your self-care going? What went well and what didn't? And then how can I support you in your self-care this week? Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting, because now the five-year-old, she totally participates in this discussion and will now bring it up occasionally just at mealtime. She'll say, so how's everybody's self-care right now?
Awesome.
It's lovely, because now she has her own ideas to share. Mm-hmm. And it's like she's keeping us more in line with this way that we have found to ritualize mm-hmm. the aspect of supporting each other's self-care.
Yeah, I love that idea. That is such an awesome idea, and I think something I will definitely try to take away, because I'm wanting to create now, like, I've been like a stay-at-home mom for 5 years, and I'm actually going back into full-time work starting next week, and it's going to be a huge shift, and wanting to at least dedicate, you know, a day, like on the weekend, where, you know, I can be with family and just, you know, like no tag and no like schedule. And I love that idea of like the self-care walk. That, you know, sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's really good. And I feel like it's an opportunity where no matter what your family configuration, mm-hmm. because you can do it with kids, you could also do it with like a friend, because it's so lovely.
Yeah.
I for a while had, you know, I've had different walking dates with people where it's like every Wednesday we walk at 8 a.m. And it's also nice to have a purpose like that where it's like really serving and connecting you. Because mm-hmm. if you tell someone else, this is my self-care, this is how it's going, this is how you can support me, it's like not just accountability, it's a connection. They take some ownership over supporting you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cool. With I wanted to know if you can talk a little bit about the course that you have, because I know you mentioned it a little bit, but like, I guess the overall question is, you know, what is your overall goal? Like, what is, you know, in 5 years, like, where do you see the work that you're doing? Like, how do you see it, you know, reaching more mothers or having an impact?
That's a really good question. It's an interesting time. I've been having a lot of, I think maybe it's just having this baby and mm-hmm. I've been having a lot of ups and downs and a lot of inspiration about what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So I made this course, and the course, I'll talk about the course first. What I wanted to do is make expansions of the cards. Cause of course the cards, there's like 29 cards and, you know, they're like 4x6 cards with this beautiful watercolor on the front and instructions on the back and ideas for where you can include the movement and alignment tips and like advanced variation. And there's only so much I can fit into those cards. And mm-hmm. I have this like 18 years of knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
Into it. So I always wanted to make something that was expanding on that idea. And so I made a course this summer where I made movement videos. It's in 5 segments. And there's movement videos to go with each segment that some of them are just expansions of a card, like rolling out your feet. You know, I made a video of that. But then there's also some additional movements. And I tried to, then I thought about, well, okay, it's not just about movement. And I included some writing reflective exercises and meditations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to get it out of being just like a ritualized body exercise thing. I wanted it to be more holistic. And so there's like a writing exercise where you write the story of your pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and there's instructions about how to do that in a way, you know, that would work for each person. And then there's some more like, this is where my dance stuff came into it. I did some more movement improv stuff for people to really have fun with movement. And I include stuff like videos of how to include movement with your kids. And I'm trying to remember, it's been so long since I looked at it, a couple months, but I've had a baby since then. So,
yeah. You know,
So it's like that. I wanted to make it like a deeper journey for people, because as I've worked with individuals in classes and workshops, it's like the movements are the surface for me, and the movements and the body, being in the body moving, is like the entry point for me mm-hmm. and for many people I work with. But it's like there are so many more layers under the surface of like, you know, where was the trauma in my pelvis when I had that tear? Like, what do I feel now?
Mm-hmm.
And there's an exercise about visualizing your circles of support and like, where are they? Because sometimes once you think about them, there really is more support than you realize,
mm-hmm.
Like in terms of community. And so it's like, I wanted to give people this holistic experience, but I made all the exercises and videos fairly short. So just like the cards, you could do a series of the videos and have like, you know, a more fluid exercise time, or you could do one little 5-minute video or activity here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I made that, I was like just entering third trimester with my son in July when I finished it. And then I sold it a little bit. And what happened was that I haven't yet figured out, I want to build a component into it where I get to interact with people more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the goal, the immediate goal there is like, it was just these videos and I have a Facebook group where people can interact. But I feel like for me to feel invested in it and really complete with offering that, I want to include like, you know, a Zoom meeting for the participants of the course and offer it more cyclically rather than like, right now it's just available and people can just buy it.
Yeah.
But I, after making it and putting it out, I realized how important it is to me to really interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I'm thinking about. And I have a couple big things that I'm thinking about doing right now. One of the things I'm thinking about is I'm seriously considering becoming a midwife.
Nice.
Because of how I've related to birth and the body.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot that I can teach people prenatally, which I can do through movement, but I've also considered how would that look like if I did it in the role of a care provider,
mm-hmm.
You know, that people are going to for prenatals. And so that's one big thing I'm considering. And then the other thing I'm thinking about is like whether or not I do that. I'm thinking a lot about how to keep Mama Moves cards moving in the direction of offering more connection for me, because it's lovely to be able to sell things online and connect with people online. But I also want to use it as a vehicle for in-person connection. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, even this, like talking to people, going on podcasts or interviewing people myself, like that's a big deal, but I want to build workshops or retreats or more in-person classes
mm-hmm.
As a way to do that, because I feel like what I've made is really awesome and I'm quite pleased and proud of it, but I don't want it just to be this thing that like keeps me away from people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my vision for the next like 5 years with it is really to let it expand in a direction that's not just online selling stuff, that is really finding ways to make those in-person studies happen, like retreats and workshops, or that's where I thrive, is teaching those things.
Awesome. Cool. Well, so we'll definitely make sure that we have all of your contact information so that people can make sure that they follow you, because I feel like you know, social media is great and I love it, and it's allowed me to meet like people like you and others. But I feel like community is where it's at. Like, because like for me, like, yeah, I'll buy different courses or webinars and it's great, but then it just sits in like my inbox, or like I'll do it and then like there's no follow through with it, or like I do it and then it's just, it's done. And yeah, and I feel like that is like a really big missing piece. You know, I think just in general with like a lot of courses. So that would be really cool, you know, just to be able to then have that personal connection, have that sense of community, you know, with other people who've done the course, or, you know, who've used the Mama Moves cards, and, you know, just to be able to share their experiences. So that would be really looking forward to what you're going to do with that.
And I just feel like in general, there's, you know, I talked about like smashing these standards of like getting your pre-baby body back and being dysfunctional. And I really feel like there is a part of me that deeply wants to be part of a revolutionary way of caring for mothers and helping mothers to see their value and how important their work is too. You know, the work of a mother is undervalued, and that is reflected in our ability to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's like this deep need I have to communicate that to people and find a way to really do that, that, feels like I want to smash these standards and provide something more nurturing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I know you're definitely going to be able to do it. So it'll be really great to see what you end up doing.
Thank you.
Cool. So I have one last question before we finish up. So I know you've already spoken a little bit about like what some of your self-care is like, but I always like to just kind of get, you know, a day in the life of, you know, the person that I'm interviewing, and just kind of get a sense of like, so what, you know, obviously with an infant, you know, what is your typical day like in regards to caring for yourself?
Yeah. So right now it's definitely in flux. Mm-hmm. That's part of my challenge with infants, is rolling with the flux. But I do have some pretty good routines. And so one of my routines is in the morning before my husband has to be at work. He usually has to be there about 8:30. He actually works from home right now, which is a huge blessing for our family. He has an office and we have a little more flexibility. So he has to be there at 8:30, and I take a walk. We usually eat breakfast together around 7:30. So my walking time is till 8:30. So however early breakfast gets done until 8:30. And right now, if the baby's asleep, he'll stay with Papa and the two girls. And I'll go walk. And if he's awake or it seems like he's going to need me, I take him with me. That piece is huge for my self care, because I have a lot of long days with children. And I have a lot of supportive friends, and we have a wonderful preschool for our kids, and we have, another childcare person who comes to the house. But even 4 hours sometimes with a couple small kids, now three small kids, it can be really long.
Oh, totally.
So getting out in the morning and getting that time is huge. And then I definitely am using a lot of my Mama Moves cards ideas right now in terms of like calf stretching while I brush my teeth. So I have all these things set up, you know, that are sort of associated with doing something. Mm-hmm. One of the things I wrote about recently was that I'm trying to create a practice of every time the baby is out of my arms to first do something good for myself. Mm-hmm. Because as you probably can relate to, a lot of times when the child is gone, the baby's out of the arms, it's like, oh, I have to get the laundry switched. Oh, I have to. You know, there's like so many demands. Even like I've stripped away so much of my life, make it as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. But it's still a lot. And so I've been trying to cultivate the practice of every time I have my arms free doing even just 30 seconds or a minute. And so like, you know, right now when he naps in the bed in the morning, he'll usually nap in the morning in the bed. I'll do a little routine of stretching. Or like the other day, he woke up at like 5. I guess it was yesterday. He woke up at 5 and he was happy to kick on the floor. Uh-huh. And just playing. And so I really took the time to like stretch while he was happy. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it could be tempting to go do the dishes or to go do some laundry. There's like laundry always to fold. So that's part of my self-care right now, is really like trying to be disciplined about taking enough opportunities for myself. Mm-hmm. And then another big thing that I'm realizing has come in with this third child is that I'm trying to also be really diligent about attuning myself to when it is time to downregulate. So like when it is time to take away the stimulation and just rest. Mm-hmm. And I would say I've been better about that with this third baby and pregnancy than I've ever been. Cause I've always been one of those people that's like, I want to do all the things and I want to learn and I want to, you know, work in the garden and take a walk and teach movement and be a midwife. Like I have no shortage of inspiration and drive. Which I think is a good thing, but also can be really dangerous. Mm-hmm. If you can't also, it's like the other day I came home from somewhere. We were out at like, you know, winter activities. We were out at the winter light fair at the Waldorf school. And we were out at the library watching a flamenco performance. And I came home and it's like, there were a few things that really should have happened, like laundry switching and, you know, maybe like sending an email. And I was like, no, I really, like, we're at our limit, the kids and I. And so I just sat on the couch and read books to the kids. And that's a huge self-care thing for me. It's like, if I'm feeling really anxious, taking the time when I'm nursing to meditate rather than to like look at my phone or send an email or, you know, do something else, make a call. So I would say like overall, that really is my self-care method right now, is like taking these opportunities during the day and recognizing when it is need. Or what it is that I need, I guess, in the sense of like what I need and what my children and I need together.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think it's important and it's really inspiring for other mothers just to be able to hear what other moms are doing for their self-care and to realize like, hey, that's, you know, I'm not doing that bad. Like, you know, okay, this mom is, you know, doing something similar to what I'm doing. So, yeah. And I agree. Like, I feel like my word for, cause I don't do resolution or what New Year's resolutions. I always do like a word for the year and mine is like simplify. I definitely agree with the down regulation because after 4 years of grad school and, you know, the wanting to like, oh, I want to do another course and I want to do this next. And it's like, no, like I need to just simplify my life right now. Like, I feel like I've already just been on like super high stress level for years and I don't want that. I don't like it. You know, there's lots of time for me to be able to do all these things I need to do. I just need to just kind of take it easy. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Well, and I think it, you know, slowing down looks different for everyone depending on their life. Like, yeah. It's really true that another thing, like another way I do that is I just go to bed early. Like,
yeah.
In bed sometimes at 6:30 with the baby. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I read, sometimes I just lie there and I don't take my phone to bed. That's like a rule. But it's like taking those times and really just allowing the rest of life to fall away, because I think it's so hard in the culture we're in to just allow simplicity to happen or to not attend to things that always feel urgent, because everything feels urgent, right? It's like, yeah, so I just feel like the culture we're in is all urgency, and it's also really important to let things fall away without guilt.
Yes.
To really, and I'm not perfect at that by any means. I work on that all the time. Like, oh, I'm not doing this work thing today. And, you know, I always have to check myself when I start to feel like, oh, I'm not doing enough of the thing that I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you so much for this really great conversation. Before we close up, if you can just share where people can find you and also find your course and where they can purchase the Mama Moves cards.
Yeah, so you can go to mamamovescards.com to get the cards, and the course is on there too. You can email me with any questions, Bethany@mamamovescards.com. And I will give Tia a coupon code that she will include in the show notes, with a 25% coupon code for any listeners to use for the course or for the cards. And I also expect by the time this is out, the course will have some of that more interactive component I mentioned that mm-hmm. that will be figured out too. So yeah, feel free to reach out and connect with me in any way on Instagram or at my email.
Great.
Or on Facebook.
Cool. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Tia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Masterful Art of Self-Care. So what was your biggest takeaway or aha moment? If you had a big one, please consider sharing it with me at tia@themasterfulartofselfcare.com. I love hearing from listeners and would love to hear what you have learned, what you want to share, and maybe who you would like to hear from. So send me your suggestions. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, or supporting this podcast. Every little bit helps and allows me to continue to spread the message of intentional self-care and body literacy to the masses. You can find more about me, future workshops, and all other happenings about my website at themasterfulartofselfcare.com, where you can subscribe to my monthly newsletter. I promise not to spam you and only provide you with worthwhile info. So let's help make self-care more accessible for mothers, caregivers, women, and those who identify as women. Thank you again for listening.